Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed in him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Finding your mountain is finding what matters to you, finding what drives you. Finding your mountain isn't about reaching the top. It's about how you're transformed by each step that takes you there.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Mindy Moore, and I'm the campus pastor here at St. Luke's Midtown. And I just want to start by giving a huge shout out to a couple of our singers this morning. So Millie and Emily, where I've lost you in the crowd now. They're right there. They have their hands raised. Millie and Emily are going back to college. We're going to miss them, but we're so grateful for them serving this summer. So can we thank them and bless them? And we know that there are a few of our college students either going to college for the first time or returning. And so, friends, we're going to miss you while you're gone, but we're excited to see you when you return to Indy. You know, it is an exciting time here at St. Luke's because, as you heard in our announcement video, our senior pastor, Rob Fuquay, has returned from being gone of 3 months of sabbatical. Now, this sabbatical, this time away, was generously funded by Lilly, and so he and his wife, Susan, got to do some very cool things, including climbing to Everest Base Camp. So you can see a couple pictures of them as they made this trek. And this is Pastor Rob's first Sunday back. So he is up at our North Indy campus. He's preaching there. I'm here. And I just want to tell you, you heard about this in our announcements, but I'm going to put an extra plug for this. Next Sunday at 5 o'clock is a big welcome back celebration up at our North Indy campus. It is going to be a time to eat good food for kids, or maybe kids at heart, to play on bounce houses and have fun. It's going to be a time to be with our church community. I'm going to be there with my family. I hope that I will see you there because this is a great opportunity for us to practice that one church in multiple locations idea that we hold so dear. So I hope that you will join us. You can see more info in your bulletin. You can sign up online. But over the next several weeks on Sundays, we're going to be looking at some experiences that Pastor Rob brought back from his time away. Now, I'm just going to name it up front. Mindy Moore did not climb to Everest Base Camp this summer. I did not. I was thinking about what I did this summer. I was like, I did climb many steps to get to public transit in Chicago. Thank you. Thank you. Phil, I love it. It's not the same. I know, it's not the same. But I was thinking about the cool thing about this is that we all have different experiences that we're bringing to the table. And there is something universal in this theme that we're going to look at. You don't have to have gone to Everest Base Camp. You don't have to have climbed up steps to get to public transit. You can have this experience of finding your mountain no matter where you are. Because this experience isn't really about something that has to happen in a physical place. This is something that happens in our hearts. This is about a spiritual experience that we can have anywhere. We can have it on a trip. We can have it in our neighborhoods. We can have it in this room. But whatever it is, it's the kind of thing that sticks with us and shapes us and really makes an impact on our faith life. So that's what we're going to be looking at the next 5 weeks together, is some of these lessons and experiences. And today what we're going to start with is how we find joy and inspiration. So I want to invite you to pray with me as we get started. God, as we gather today, as we think about what it means to truly find your joy and your inspiration in this world, my prayer is that our hearts will be open, that we'll be open to what you have to teach us through this scripture, what you have to teach us through our own lived experiences, what you have to teach us through the life and love of Jesus. God, we have the opportunity to go on a spiritual journey together. And so I pray as we go that we would just be on the lookout for what you have to teach us along the way. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, for some of us, if you live in IPS or Washington Township, last week was an exciting week for you. Because we went back to school. And if you don't live in those districts and you have children, I have bad news. It's coming for you as well. The start of the school year is upon us. And as I thought about summer and the fact that it is apparently winding down, even though it's like 500 degrees outside and 100% humidity, but they tell me summer is ending, I've noticed this trend that happens in the summer. I've noticed it the past several years. And it's this trend of making what's called a summer bucket list. Have you heard of these? A summer bucket list. Or it's a list of things that people say they have to accomplish by the end of summer in order to make their summer really count. Now, some of the things on these lists are like really big. Like we're going to take a cross-country road trip. Some of them are really simple. Like, we're going to roast a marshmallow. I'm like, I can put that on my bucket list. I can accomplish that one. But whether or not, you know, they're big or small, the point of a summer bucket list is so that you don't have those 8 or so weeks of summer go by and you just miss it. The point is that you make that time count and you find as much joy as possible. You name the things that are important to you and you make sure to do them. And as I was thinking about this idea of a summer bucket list, I thought that is a really intentional way to approach any season, whether it's summer or winter or whatever. And whether or not you love this idea of making a bucket list or that doesn't really appeal to you, I thought this idea of being more intentional about finding joy and inspiration in our lives, I think that's something that we all could benefit from. We could write it down or not, but the point is each and every one of us were created to find joy and inspiration. And sometimes I think it can be a little bit hard to do. Sometimes it can feel a little bit tricky on how to fit this in or how to focus on it. Sometimes this idea of finding joy and inspiration can be a little bit even spiritually complicated. You know, you might have been told throughout your life that trying to find these things isn't really a great use of your time. You might have been told that that's not actually what the life of a faithful and so-called holy person looks like. When Pastor Rob and I were talking about this message and we were talking about the fact that everyone is created to find joy, to find inspiration, and that God actually finds delight when we find these things, I kind of stopped him and I said, Rob, this might be a different conversation for some people. Like, I feel like this is actually a really healing idea to me. Because sometimes we've been told, we've had this narrative that if you're a faithful person, you don't pursue the things that bring you joy. Sometimes you actually deny those. Sometimes you actually, to be a faithful, holy person, you have to live a life that is just sacrifice and is just putting God as number one. I mean, I remember once in a church setting making a list of things that I loved, and then the person in charge says, okay, now put God above all of that and ignore all of those things. And I was like, whoa, that doesn't feel like a very real way to live my life. Now, that's kind of an extreme example, but my guess is that some of us here have had some kind of flavor of that preached to us, where there's a tension between how do I pursue the joy of my heart and how do I pursue God, and do these things actually get to intersect? And so I just want to acknowledge that as we're talking today, you might have some places where you feel a little bit uncomfortable. You might have some places where these are new ideas, and that's okay. But we're going to go back to this scripture that Matt read for us and get a little bit of direction on what it looks like to orient our lives around joy and inspiration and how that can be deeply honoring to how God works. So today we're looking at the book of Colossians. Now, if you were here last week, we were in Colossians last week, so you get 2 weeks in a row of Colossians. We were just a few verses after the ones we're looking at today. But one thing I want you to understand about this book, about any of these books we call epistles in the New Testament, is that these are not just random theological thoughts. This is not just someone having like a philosophy session and thinking things to put out into the world. These are really specific letters. These are written to communities to give instruction on how to be in community together and how to build a life of faith. So that's what we're reading today. And here's what the author of Colossians says. I'm going to read you a couple of these verses again. They say, "Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." So basically, the author is saying here, you know, as you live a life with Jesus, I want you to be on the lookout for something. I want you to be on the lookout for things that bring joy. I want you to be on the lookout for the people and places and activities that speak uniquely to how God has made you. Because when you're looking for those things, you're inevitably going to find something else. You're going to find the Spirit of God at work. Now, as I read this passage, I thought the way that some of this is phrased might feel a little bit intimidating to us. I mean, the author uses this language of set your mind on the things that are above. And that is all kinds of lofty and abstract when we read it. And when I read it, my first question was like, well, how do I know? How do I know what those things that are above are? Especially because if you were paying attention when Matt read, we read 10 verses of this chapter. And it gets very specific toward the end. Did you notice that? It gave us this really abstract, set your mind on things that are above. Now, don't do all of these very specific things. And so that creates a little tension in me as I read it. Because I think, okay, you're telling us the things that we shouldn't do. But you're not really giving us a good, clear instruction on what we should do. And so how am I supposed to figure that out? How are we supposed to figure out what this author thinks that we should do? What these things that are so-called above really mean? You know, as I was thinking about how hard it is to really understand the difference between those things, I think some of the challenge comes from the fact that we don't always know how to trust our own instincts when it comes to discerning things of a spiritual nature. I've heard so many messages, and there are so many scriptures that have been used to create this whole message of like danger, danger when it comes to trusting ourselves. There's even a scripture in Proverbs 28:26 that says very clearly, whoever trusts their own mind is a fool. And so I read that and I think, okay, but we've got this place where it seems like there's a lot of space for interpretation and I'm supposed to be discovering what brings me joy. Like, how do we do that? That creates a lot of tension and doubt about what it means to trust ourselves to find this stuff out. But the good news is that isn't the whole story of our faith. There's tension, but it's not the whole story. Because if you go back as far as 500 AD, I just want you to understand, this is not a new thought that I am presenting to you this morning. If you go all the way back to 500 AD and look at the writings of Augustine, here's what he says. How can you draw close to God when you are far from your own self? How can you draw close to God when you're far from your own self? How can you draw close to God when you don't know your own self? When you can't name what those things are that bring you joy, that bring you inspiration? How can we know God if we don't know this person that God has created? I think that's a pretty powerful question to consider as we're thinking about this idea of finding joy. As we're thinking about understanding what these things are that this writer says, these are the things that are above, these are the things that are worthy of building a life around. I think that God wants us to spend some time figuring those things out. God wants us to know ourselves because God created ourselves. God loves ourselves. And God wants us to experience joy that is unique to each and every single one of us. We can go back to the life of Jesus to actually see an example of this in action. You know, I think sometimes when we think about Jesus and his life, we think about a lot of the things that he did. We're like, okay, he did the miracle. He did the healing. He did the death. He did the resurrection. Like, he did all that stuff. And sometimes we lose the ways that he knew himself. We lose the way he tended to his soul. Because in the midst of doing all those things, you know what else Jesus was doing? He was taking naps. It's in the Bible. He took naps. He was getting away for time alone. He was spending time with the people that filled his soul. He was eating good food. I mean, he was doing all of these things that bring joy. And I think when I look at the life of Jesus, I just think he takes these ideas that seem like they're in opposition, that we should know ourselves, that we should pursue the things that make our souls happy, and we should humbly be serving God. And he says, no, those things don't have conflict. Those things go together. Those things integrate to create a really healthy, well-rounded life of faith. That's what we see in the life of Jesus. And when we look at how Jesus lived and we look at what this scripture tells us to do, it feels pretty clear to me that pursuing joy can actually be a powerful act of worship. That pursuing joy is something that God made us to do. And that pursuing joy is a holy response to a holy God who is at work in our world. If you read this scripture, there's almost this like cause and effect relationship at play. I don't know if you noticed it when Matt was reading it, but the writer says things like, God has been faithful. God has done all these things. Because of that, because of the source of what God has done, you get to live these lives. These lives that have this sense of renewal, these lives where we experience awe and joy and goodness because of what God has done, we get to live like this. There's a cause and effect reaction here because of God's goodness and our capacity to experience joy and inspiration. You know, and I think God wants us to pursue these things. Not just because it's an act of worship. I think that's an important piece. Not just because it's good for our souls. I think that's an important piece. But I was thinking about this other layer that comes up for me when I think about joy. And I think when people of faith make room and time and intention to pursue joy and inspiration, I think that's actually one of the most powerful, effective ways that we can share our faith. Because when joy is happening, people pay attention to that. And I'm actually going to give you a very real world example when you've experienced this, and I'm guessing the last week and a half. So how many of you have watched the Olympics since it's been on? Yes, me too. I want you to know, we got the Peacock subscription for 1 month. for 1 month so we could watch this. Thank you. Someone else is, can I get a witness? Thank you. We got the Peacock subscription. My kids have been like, can we just watch anything else? I'm like, absolutely not. This is 2 weeks of sports. This is all we're doing. So we've been watching the Olympics, and if you have too, then you saw some joy on display a week and a half ago, or maybe a week ago, with the U.S. men's gymnastics team. Did you watch it? There they are. There's the image. So I've got to tell you, I went from literally zero information about United States men's gymnastics. I mean, I had no context. I didn't know a single name, a single story. I sat on my couch, and within like 15 minutes, I went from complete ignorance to like fully bought in. I was like, where's the face paint? I need a flag. Like, I need to just go all in. I am so excited for what these guys were doing. And you had to be, because you had all these heartwarming stories. You had the fact that they hadn't won a medal since 2008. Guys, you had Stephen. I mean, Stephen with his pommel horse and his nap and his glasses. I could not. Zach will attest, I had zero chill about this. I just, every time he was there, I was like, Stephen! And I just met him 5 minutes ago, like the rest of the world. But you also had this group of men, and they were so excited for each other. I mean, it was just unfiltered, true, exuberant joy. And I felt that sitting on my couch thousands of miles away. Imagine what people feel face to face when they see joy coming from us. Imagine what that joy can do in our world, because when we see joy like that, it cannot just stay with the person who's experiencing it. Joy in the very best way is incredibly contagious. It draws you in. It's compelling. It has the power to make an impact. And when you couple joy with faith, what that says is that we have a story worth telling. We have a story of healing and goodness and faith that can inspire people to do some pretty incredible things. And so when I think about that, it doesn't seem like an accident at all that God has created us to experience and pursue the things that give us joy and inspire us. Our lives were made to reflect those things. And if we're going to be people who pursue joy in this world, we have to know what joy looks like for each of us. I want to come back to that idea, because your joy might be very different than the person's joy who is sitting next to you. This past week on Friday, I asked this question on our Midtown Facebook group, and I just said, what brings you joy and gives you inspiration? I'm going to ask you that again today. Now, I want you to know we got some great responses to that, and my very favorite thing about these responses, all different, every single one of them. One person said, I get joy when I bring that joy to people in my community, when I make people smile, when I share that joy with others. That is what lights me up. Some people said, I get it when I spend time with my pets. Some people said, I get it by spending time in online communities I've created. I mean, it was so different across the board, and that's the point. God's created each of us to experience this in different ways. And so I want this question to be one that you take with you this week. Like, please do not just look at the screen and, you know, nod along. Really, take this with you and name it. Because there is something really powerful that happens when we understand what joy looks like for us, and then we go after it. We spend our lives creating it and reflecting it and sharing it. Then it's not just about us, but it goes out into the world and it makes a difference. You know, as we wrap up today, I just want to say one more thing about joy and inspiration. And I guess I want to talk to the people in the room who might feel a little bit outside of this conversation. Like, maybe you've been hearing all this talk about joy and you're like, that is great, and I don't fit it. You might be sitting there thinking, you know, I am in this place in my life where I'm working multiple jobs just to pay my bills. My whole life is just taking my kids to and from their activities. There is no space for joy. You might be someone who's like, I'm dealing with my own or my family members' serious health crisis. Like, I don't have capacity to figure out what joy is in this moment. If that is you, I want to say to you a couple things. I want to say, first of all, this is a place where all of your story is welcome. And so if that is where you are, I am so grateful that you would hold that honestly in this place. This is not a place where we manufacture joy. We look for it. We find it. But we don't have to pretend about it. The second thing I would say to you, if you're feeling like finding joy might be an obstacle right now, is just to look for it in simple places. You know, sometimes we think that to find joy and inspiration, you need like a lot of money or a vacation fund. You don't. We think we have to take like some extended time off work. You don't. We think we have to do something that we can put in our Instagram stories highlight where it lives for years and people can go back and be like, wow, they did that thing. You don't. I see those as very real barriers that we have to experiencing joy and inspiration. We think it has to fit some criteria. But when I look at this scripture from Colossians, I'm like, it doesn't. Maybe that's the reason they didn't tell us what this meant. Maybe when they say, put your mind on things above and leave it really open for interpretation, it's because all of our interpretations matter. They're all valid. They all work. They can all help us connect to Jesus and that joy that God has for us. Because here's the thing, when we decide to set our minds on the things that are above, to set our minds on pursuing the joy of God, we have to remember that God is at work exactly where we are. Exactly where you are is exactly where you can find joy. And so if you need to find joy in the carpool line, first of all, I'm going to need to tell me how you do it. I believe you can do it. I haven't done it yet, but I believe you can do it. But go do that. Find it in the carpool line. If you have to find joy in your cubicle that you sit in from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and there's a fluorescent, buzzy light over you, find it there. If you need to find it while you care for an aging parent, that is one of the hardest things we can do. But friends, there is joy in that moment. If you find it in that 10 minutes you have in your house where you can paint or write or draw or sing or do that thing that lights you up, find it there. Just know yourself and your situation and know that God is in the midst of that. Because God is in the middle of every single thing that we do. God is in the middle of every single place we find ourselves. And when God is there, joy is there too.